specifically when it impedes your ability to do your activities of daily living. And when it is growing, that's when you really want to go seek some outpatient therapy or outpatient mental health.
This is the Brother Be Well podcast. We're focused on mental health needs for boys and men of color, including trauma and healing. This podcast series is sponsored by Blue Shield of California's Blue Sky Initiative. Get ready for real talk. And to our parents and caregivers, listen up, y'all.
Hi, I'm Michael P. Coleman, Content Director for Brother Be Well. Today, thanks to the support of Blue Shield of California's Blue Sky Initiative, we're discussing outpatient mental health care experiences with one of our Brother Be Well clinical advisors, Cherie Kreiner. Cherie is a registered nurse, and she's the vice president of the Capital City Black Nurses Association. Cherie, hello, and welcome back to Brother Be Well.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm always happy to be here.
Always happy to get into these conversations, Cherie. Let's get us started with a pretty basic question. What is outpatient therapy?
Outpatient therapy tells you exactly what it is. Outpatient, not in the hospital, not somewhere that you stay or you live or you're in. It's just something that you could achieve on your own terms via different appointments or groups or therapy. So it is something that doesn't require you to live or stay there, but you can still reap the benefits of the type of care that you need for your mental health.
It didn't occur to me right away when we got started putting this talk together, Cherie. I've been to therapy 2-3 times in my life, and it never occurred to me that every one of those appointments was an outpatient therapy appointment. Sometimes the term, we get hung up on that, but we're already, most of us that have done it, have already familiar with exactly what it is, right?
Absolutely. And I love my therapist. She's one of my favorite people. I stay in touch with her when things are bad, but also when things are going well, to continue to sharpen those coping skills, to be able to deal with the things that life throws at you. But you're absolutely right. Outpatient therapy has something to offer really for everyone.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Let's talk about a distinction between intensive outpatient, and I just learned that term, and outpatient mental health care. Can you differentiate between the two for our audio podcast listeners and our video viewers?
Absolutely. Intensive therapy, exactly, again, just like it sounds, intense, more. So you or I may see our therapist once a week, once a month for 1 hour. Someone that's experiencing acute symptoms of anxiety, depression, substance abuse may need a little more assistance along the way. So intense therapy may be longer sessions, more days per week, up to like all day or day programs where you're there for the bulk of the day. And they usually have a higher time requirement and include more different types of therapies. And it's for a prescribed amount of time specifically to address whatever your need may be at that time. So a little more than just, you know, every now and then visit with a therapist to do talk therapy.
Gotcha. Makes a lot of sense too. How does one go about determining whether they or someone they love or care for might benefit from outpatient mental health care?
Absolutely. So there are assessment tools that healthcare providers use that measure your symptoms and how often they're happening and how often they are impacting your life. For instance, if I am sad today and I'm feeling really sad most days of the week, and I'm feeling so sad most days of the week that I am calling out and I can't go to work, and I was late picking up my kids because I forgot to do that, or I'm sleeping so much I'm missing out on my assignments at home. So clinicians can take that information, and there's actually a way to measure the impact of your symptoms, how often they're happening, and how much they're impacting your activities of daily living, along with if you're suicidal, or can harm yourself or others. And then a recommendation is made based on that assessment. So when you go to see a therapist or mental health provider, or maybe even your primary care provider now, you may get questions about, you know, feelings of sadness, feelings of anxiety, and if so, how those things are impacting your life, or substance use or abuse, and how those things are impacting your life. So based on those three pillars, the clinician makes an assessment, and then they make a recommendation for the type of therapy that may be best for you on an outpatient basis.
Makes a lot of sense. And you talked to me once before on another of these conversations about the role that the primary care physician plays in this as well. And so it's important not to forget him or her in this whole equation that might lead someone to outpatient mental health care.
Absolutely. And when you think outpatient, you think, yes, I'm struggling and having symptoms with my mental health, but I'm still kind of making it through. So maybe I can get some tools to help me cope better and continue to grow and have the best way of coping and doing all of my activities of daily living. So this is not the person that is having acute symptoms that is completely stopped their life, and they are a risk to themselves or others are experiencing extreme psychosis due to their mental illness. So this doesn't fit in that bucket. This is someone that is really struggling, all the way to the person that just may be struggling a little bit.
It's a wide breadth of services, and it's great to know that they're all there for people who need them. We have another whole other conversation on the Brother Be Well platform about insurance and how you can go about accessing those services. So we can get it all. We'll be getting all of that at brotherbewell.com. But for this conversation, that's really fantastic. Appreciate you sharing it, Cherie. I'm curious about the treatment modalities that might be employed in an outpatient setting. And I don't believe I'm smiling almost when I ask that question. I get excited about questions like this. What are the different treatment modalities that one might be a part of in a part of an outpatient setting?
Right. So there's sometimes there's talk therapy one-on-one. There's different types of group therapies. There's behavior modification and cognitive behavioral modification therapies, all the way to medical treatments that may include medications or procedures depending on the situation. So depending on what your need is and what is helpful, different clinicians may offer different things. I mean, you're seeing now it's popular where you see people doing art therapy and smash therapy is another one where they're, you know, you're going into a smash room where you can break things and kind of have that cathartic release of just releasing your aggression in a safe and controlled environment. So there's lots of different therapies that pop up every day, but it's really just finding what works for you, helps with your symptoms, and provides that balance for you to be able to do the things that you need to do every day and enjoy doing.
I'm glad you mentioned smash therapy. I've seen that in movies and TV shows. I never realized it was a real therapeutic tool. So we'll be talking about that one for sure at brotherbewell.com.
Absolutely.
Wow. It's there have been periods in my life where I could have benefited from something like that. So we're going to look into that for sure. Speaking of benefits, Cherie, what are some of the benefits to seeking mental health treatment through outpatient services?
So the great part about outpatient services are that you can do it at your own leisure, right? You can schedule appointments for times that may work around your work schedule. If they don't work around your work schedule, there are provisions under the law for specific illnesses that are diagnosed already to actually give you protected time. It protects your job, not talking about pay or anything, but protects your job for you to have time to go to these types of appointments. It really enhances your quality of life. There are things that sometimes you don't even know are bothering you until you have those assessments. So it really helps you live your best life, honestly. As I mentioned with my own therapist, that when things are tough, yeah, I'm seeing my therapist more frequently. But even when things are not as tough, I still touch bases to make sure that those tools that I used before are ready and are ready to go. So if I approach a hardship or a change in my life, then I'm able to cope better. So it's just like keeping tools in the toolbox. You don't always need to go around hammering things or tightening screws, but you sure want to have it if there's a nail that you need to hammer or you need to screw something in. You want to have it available, right? So it's really just sewing into yourself and packing your little toolbox so that you're prepared to deal with real stressors of life. I mean, think about it, things in the world, things at school, at work, pandemics, you see it all. So it really helps you to cope better with things that will happen, right? We all experience things. So that's what it's best for. It helps with everything.
You are one of my favorite people in the world to talk to, Sheree, because you're so good at promoting other projects. You and I have a whole conversation about packing that mental health toolkit that you just talked about. So again, if you're checking out this video and you're curious about that, go to brotherbewell.com and check out that video as well. Mm-hmm. Sheree, my next question here, and I know there's no one size fits all approach to mental health care, but I'm wondering whether there's a general profile of a patient who might respond well to outpatient mental health care services.
Honestly, it's you, it's me, it's your neighbor, it's your pastor, it's anyone that you work with, talk to, walk by. There is a place for everyone that is not experiencing acute illness where there's a risk of them harming themselves or others, right? So if they're not at risk of harming themselves or others, then you fit in the box and you may benefit from outpatient therapy. I would say I probably have never met a person that was 100% fine and never had a worry or stressor in the world. So there's a self-care component to even the person that may seem to be the most well adjusted, able to cope with everything, to have those tools in their toolbox. So it's really any and everyone that is experiencing any feelings of anxiety, depression, sadness, substance abuse, any type of imbalance that, as I mentioned, specifically when it impedes your ability to do your activities of daily living and when it is growing and occurring, that's when you really want to go seek some outpatient therapy or outpatient mental health, specifically to help as those changes occur, to support you through it.
And the changes occurring, I think that from what you just said, at least, am I processing this correctly, is the change that could be the trigger or the sign. So you talked about it impeding your natural usual activities, rather. So if you notice a shift in what you had been doing, you mentioned during another conversation, if you can't get out of bed, if you can't, if you're not enjoying the media, movies or TV, whatever your routine was or exercise, that might be a sign that you might be a good beneficiary of outpatient services.
Absolutely. Anytime those regular activities of daily living are interrupted, that should be a little flag for you to say, something's changed. Because sometimes, Michael, you may not know that you've gotten really, really sad, or you may not realize how anxious you are. In fact, I do a meditation with my coworkers. We do a 1-minute meditation. Every time I tell everyone to do it, I notice myself that my shoulders are like up here and I have to relax them. But had I not taken a moment to pay attention to that, I would have no idea that I was even experiencing stress at that level in my body. So oftentimes you may not even recognize that it's happening. So having that time to check in, this is why it's good to see your primary care provider annually, just to check in with everything, to spark the question in you to say, are things going well? Am I impacted in some way? And if they're not, great. And if they are, then you can use the resources that are available.
And you also, just before we get to our final question, you said at the beginning of your answer there that you didn't know a person that couldn't benefit from outpatient services. I certainly don't know a person of color. And we've had a conversation here at Brother Be Well about even the race component being added to the ACEs screener. Every person of color in this country has had some kind of stressor. It's either generational or you're carrying it with you and you don't realize it. I was one of those people too, Sheree. My shoulders used to be up there, and someone had to tell me, why are your shoulders so high? And that's when I began to realize that I was kind of internalizing a lot of the stress in my life at the time. So really appreciate you walking us through that. As we get ready to wrap up, I want to talk about stigma. We talk about it a lot here at Brother Be Well. I still remember the first time I went to a therapist's office, and I remember sitting there in the waiting room and I felt weird. I was kind of ashamed. I was looking around. Is anybody going to see me? Did anyone see me pull up in the parking lot? What are people going to think? And that was all the internalized stuff that I was carrying with me about exactly what mental health care was that should have been thrown out decades ago. My question for you, should individuals be any more reluctant to explore outpatient mental health services to help them manage symptoms than they are to seek outpatient physical health care treatment at a doctor's or nurse's office? You're a nurse, so I haven't been able to wait to ask you that question. Should we be any more reluctant to do the therapy thing than we are if we strain our arm and we go to the doctor to help out that arm?
Absolutely not. Same. You know, as we mentioned before, mental illness is a chemical imbalance or imbalance in the brain or body that causes symptoms. So you would fix that like you would fix anything else with the tools that are available. I will tell you that I'm very optimistic for the future with stigma around mental illness. I will say that raising a kid in this new generation coming up, they are far more self-aware and in tune with their mental health. And also they're normalizing seeking mental health services. And so I hope to see the stigma decrease and decrease with every generation, Michael, because I can tell you now, even the generation after me and the generation after that are already far more in tune than I've ever been to this point.
That's great to hear. That's been my observation as well, but you're the clinician, so it's good to hear you kind of rubber stamp my feeling. And I bet a lot of people in our generation will feel that. I noticed someone last time I was out at the mall, and there was a group of young kids, and they were having a conversation about one of them, and they had just had an appointment with their therapist. And I didn't want to linger on the conversation. I didn't want to linger around. I thought that was a little creepy, but I was so encouraged to see a group of young people just openly in the middle of this big open space talking about their therapy for the day, what they learned and the conversation with the therapist. My generation at that age would have had that conversation.
Absolutely. It's a great thing to see and to experience. In fact, Michael, I joke with my daughter all the time. Sometimes there's more feelings and emotions than I know to deal with. And I always say, well, I couldn't have feelings when I was a kid. I'm learning with you. I was like, bear with me. I am learning with you because I did not get to process these things with my parents the way you get to process these things with your parents. So we are learning together.
I'm going to steal that line with my kids. I couldn't have feelings either when I was a kid, Cherie. So you were not alone on that. Cherie Kreiner, registered nurse, former psychiatric nurse, and vice president of the Capital City Black Nurses Association, Brother Be Well clinical advisor, and Michael P. Coleman's buddy. Thank you, Cherie, for another great conversation.
Thank you so much, Michael.
See you next time. And I want to thank our sponsor for this video, Blue Shield of California's Blue Sky Initiative. That initiative boosts access to mental health support. You can learn all about it at their site, bluesky.blueshieldca.com. That's bluesky.blueshieldca.com. Another website that I'll tell you about, our own, brotherbewell.com. If you've enjoyed this video, take a look at a host of others, all directed to the behavioral health of boys and men of color, 13 and up, African-American, Latinx, Asian and Pacific Islander, and Native or Indigenous, all designed to help you brothers be well. It's all at that website, brotherbewell.com. It's a membership-supported site. You can join us as a member right now, or if you'd just like to sign up for our blog, give us your email address, and that's absolutely free. You can sign up for that blog, and two or three times a week, you'll get notifications in your email box about videos just like this one as they go live. All of that is at brotherbewell.com. My name again, Michael P. Coleman, content director for Brother Be Well. I want to ask you to do two quick things for me, if you would, before you get out of here. Take great care of yourself, and then take great care of somebody else. Till next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Brother Be Well podcast. Join the BBW membership at brotherbewell.com so we can learn to heal trauma together. Thanks also to Blue Shield of California's Blue Sky Initiative for sponsoring this podcast and supporting parents and caregivers in need. I'm Leon Guidry, and that's all for now.